This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Wake up! And a good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. So yesterday I settled in and watched a little of the golf. Right, golf return, PGA Tour had the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas at Colonial Country Club. No fans, so no crowds to watch and react to good shots or bad shots or birdie putts or whatnot. And while it was weird, don't get me wrong here, it was weird to watch guys playing golf holes that weren't sort of, you know, with a background of crowd, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. There were a couple of things, though, that, you know, were, you wish the crowd was there. One, Jordan Spieth rallied on the back nine. He ended up finishing at 5 under par, and he made a lot of birdies on the backside. And, you know, he is a local kid. He's a local, you know, he grew up in that area, and he would have been a fan favorite. So even in round one, where guys are sort of going out and playing and it's still a ways to go, still a number of holes to go, it would have been nice to see a crowd rally around a guy like him to just feel the buzz of a round one. But the second one was Ian Baker Finch was calling golf on one of the par threes, and a guy made a hole in one. A hole in one, and nobody reacted. Not even the players reacted. Like, there wasn't any high fives and yeah, woo. Like, there was just hole in one. I don't even know if the golfer knew he had a hole in one. I'm kind of thinking he did. Maybe it was one of those when he walked up to the green. But Ian Baker Finch just went, oh, it's a one. He made a hole in one, and it was it. There was no excitement and energy from the crowd. But nevertheless, golf coming back was exciting. It was cool. It was a star-studded field. It was a lot of good players. Tiger Woods was not in the field, but just about everybody else was. And it was good to see it come back. It had been shut down since March when they had the Players' Championship. So even though there was no raucous crowd at Colonial, it still was a pretty cool thing to watch to get one at least another sporting event back. All right, coming up, Pete Carroll had some things to say about Colin Kaepernick and them not signing him. Do you believe him? We'll tell you what he said next as we continue on Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us here on Wake Up Call. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Also like us on Facebook, at Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. You can reach us there as well. So Pete Carroll of the Seahawks was asked about Colin Kaepernick, and you know, he brought him in 2017, so why wasn't he on a roster? You know, why didn't you give him a job? He said that because they had Russell Wilson, Kaepernick was just too good. He was a starter. You didn't want a starter behind another starter. That would be silly. So they signed Austin Davis instead. And now we are here 4 years later, and I think a lot of people have changed their thoughts on Colin Kaepernick, that he should have been in the league the whole time, and he should have gotten a job, and why didn't he get a job? Carroll's explanation for this, I'm sorry, it just rings a little hollow to me. It seems it would be much easier if a coach said, you know what? We didn't sign him because we didn't want the controversy, okay? We didn't sign him because we didn't want to deal with the distraction. Or better yet, if you wanted to say there was a decline in his skill level, you know, he was coming off some injuries, he lost the ability to sort of run and escape out of pressure, which was one of the reasons he had so much success in the league, or declining win total, whatever you want to say about his career, if you just use that, that's much easier than saying he was too good to be on your team.
You don't buy the fact that you can't have the best players?
Right. See, that's where it's ringing a little hollow
to
me.
Players?
You know, I hate to say this about Pete Carroll because I like him a lot. I like Pete Carroll. He's refreshing. He's a very good coach. And here's the thing about him. One of the things that I like about him is I remember when he was the coach of both the Jets and the Patriots. When I was first in this business, I covered the Patriots. We'd go down to Foxborough. We'd cover games. And I was there when Bill Parcells beat the Jets. Carroll was the coach of the Jets. And I was in the locker room, or was in the media session, I should say, when Bill Parcells was asked by a reporter if he had outcoached Pete Carroll. And Bill Parcells went on a rampage on that question about how dumb it was. Nobody outcoaches anybody else, etc. But Carroll struggled early in his career. He struggled with the Jets. He struggled with the Patriots. And then he went to USC and it just exploded, right? Led USC to a national power and took the Seahawks to a couple of Super Bowls. I like him a lot, but this is one of those, to coin a football phrase, Monday morning quarterback explanations that makes you look a little better than you really were. If you wanted him on your team, you should have signed him. If there was no other issues around Kaepernick other than he was too talented, that doesn't make any sense. If you want to admit that at the time there was just too much heat, there was just too much controversy, you can say that and nobody would say, well, you got some splaining to do on that one. I think most of the league would, if they were being truthful, would come out and say the exact same thing. They would all say it. Look, at the time, we didn't want to bring him in. He was one of the hot button athletes of the time. He was very controversial. We didn't want that controversy. As good as he was, or as good as we felt he was, we weighed the risk and the reward of signing him. And unfortunately, the risk weighed out at that time. Do we regret it? Yeah. Should we have signed him? Sure. At the time, we were thinking of something else. It's better to kind of come out and say we were sorry we did something. That we, maybe we made a mistake in doing that. That's fine. I think people would agree with it. Or you stand by it and say, you know what? It's easy in 2020 to say we should have done something in 2016/17, but the reality of it is we didn't. And we didn't for those reasons that were real at the time. Right? We're not the only ones. There are 31 other teams that didn't do this. But Carroll's explanation almost takes them off the hook. Right? Whereas all these other teams didn't even bring him in for a look, but we at least brought him in for a look and we didn't sign him because he was too talented. I'm sorry, that is there. When people explain away things like that, where they say, well, you have to understand, I was doing it this way or I was doing it that way, to make themselves take themselves out of the equation a little bit, to take them, take their decision, to present a different mindset. It doesn't ring true at all. It's again, it's going back and changing the facts, Monday morning quarterbacking, and it doesn't fit well. I'd rather he was better off just saying the truth. This should be challenged. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Because again, if you are talking about the quarterback position, right? And if Kaepernick didn't want to be on your team because you were going to make him a backup, well, first of all, Kaepernick knew if he was going in for a workout, you had Russell Wilson. He knew he was going in to be a backup.
Yeah.
Not taking that job away from Russell Wilson, right? Is there going to be a quarterback controversy in camp in 2017?
No, but I guess, hindsight's always 20/20, but even then, he should have had the foresight to just say, what a great package we could have built around him.
Right.
Bringing him in for a few plays. Or turn him into something that, what the Saints have done with Taysom Hill.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a number of opportunities to do that.
How great would Kaepernick be in that kind of role?
But so the idea that Kaepernick's camp, coming off a 1-10 stint with the 49ers in 2016, was going to be competing against a 2-time Super Bowl participant in Russell Wilson. And I know Kaepernick had gone to a Super Bowl too, but that wasn't going to happen. And so if Kaepernick went to Seattle, it was to get a gig. It wasn't to steal a gig. It wasn't to take a gig from Russell Wilson. It was to get a gig. And Carroll saying, "Oh no, you're too good. We see you as a starter." Well, I would ask this. My follow up question to that would have been, "Then why did you bring him in? Like you knew
that
what he was.
Wasn't that good?
what were you hoping that his? They were right. His talent has really slipped. We can now sign him.
Yeah, we were just kind of hoping it was a notch above Austin Davis.
Yeah, why did you bring him in if you knew he was too good to be a backup? What showed you in the conversation that you had with him that he was too good to be a backup? You probably knew that the second you picked up the phone and invited him in. Now, here's the other thing. Carroll would not elaborate, but he says that one team has called him about that visit today. Like he says, today there's one team interested that called him to talk about him. Here's the deal. I don't know if I believe that or not. I'm not saying he's lying, but I'm saying that could easily be an embellishment of something. I've heard that a million times about Kaepernick. I've heard, you know, his camp has always said somebody's interested. We got two or three teams calling. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. But this explanation doesn't sit well. Again, were there football reasons to not sign Kaepernick in terms of his skill level? Yeah, you could make that argument. I mean, he didn't play very well on a gutted roster on the 49ers in that 1-10 season, and he didn't play particularly well. The numbers weren't through the roof despite his again players around him not being that good. You could make the football argument, but he was good enough to be a backup.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, he was.
And he was asked yesterday, well, okay, what about today? Like, okay, if he's good enough to be in the league today, what about today? And he was like, yeah, we got Geno Smith. We're good. Yeah. Like, that's what every team is saying.
Yeah, I know.
Every team has been saying this.
I mean, now he would be a great backup.
Sure.
I mean, if Russell Wilson goes down with an injury and you have no idea what the season holds, would you rather have Geno Smith holding the ball or Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, see, well, it depends on what, you know, it depends, I guess. I mean, I still want to know what Kaepernick looks like in 2020 as an NFL-ready guy.
Oh, and I'm saying you go through all the workout, you go through the process.
Right.
Say you have 2017 Kaepernick. And that's what I'm basing it off of. I don't know if you do or not. I don't know what kind of Kaepernick you have. But if you have 2017 Kaepernick, that's a better player than Geno Smith.
Yeah, of course.
It was proven.
Of course.
Listen, and you don't have Geno Smith. You don't have Kaepernick probably punching people in the locker room.
This is exactly. This has been my point on Kaepernick is, do I think he's a starter in this league? No. But the idea that when we're going down the list of people who have taken snaps and he's not one of them, I find that incredibly hard to believe.
Yeah.
That he can't at least be one of those people on the list of many backups who have taken one or played one or two games in their career. You know, there's a huge list of them. We've gone over the names many times of people who still get chances in this league who can't play, and he never gets a phone call.
I guess we have to ask ourselves, is it bad to just come out and say, hey, we don't want the media circus?
That's what I'm wondering.
I mean,
is the truth too hard to say?
I mean, there's going to be backlash, obviously, of course, but you can't fault for just being truthful, right?
If you were a coach and you honestly said, look, we just did not want the distraction. We heard it from our fan base. This was not going to be a good move for us. I'm sorry, but this is the truth. Would that work? Would that go over well? I mean, we tend to take things and we take quotes and we dissect it and we analyze it and we process it. And then next thing you know, a coach is apologizing because it didn't come out right. But if a coach was honest, rather than spinning it this way, which is, look, it's Carroll spinning a story that not only, I think he's trying to help Kaepernick, but he's also trying to help himself. Like everybody else, it was controversial. But us, it was a roster decision.
Yeah.
He was too good. We didn't need the worry of a competition with Russell Wilson. I had Russell Wilson. I didn't need another Super Bowl level starter on my roster. You all understand that, right? I mean, you have to weigh your backup situation to make sure it's not so good that it. No.
Or maybe don't come out and say that he was so good he couldn't be on the team. Just say, his skill set is too similar to Russell Wilson. If we were going to find a backup quarterback, we wanted something different.
Maybe
a guy that sits in the pocket. Because, I mean, at their height, they're very similar. Russell Wilson's a great scrambler.
And the other thing, too, is, again, Kaepernick going into the 2017 offseason looking for a job was far removed from the Super Bowl and then NFC Championship Colin Kaepernick, right? He was coming off some injuries, but he went 8-8, 2-6, and 1-10 in three seasons. The last three, he was heading into backup role anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So here's a couple of things. He was heading into backup role. Carroll now spins it and says, my God, he was a starter. I mean, he was I don't think anybody really believes that. He was not heading in that direction.
Well, I mean, if he was a starter, teams would have been falling all over
Absolutely.
Him.
If he was that good in 2017, if your evaluation of him in 2017 was he is one of the 32 best players at this position, somebody would have grabbed him.
Yeah, they wouldn't have cared about the kneeling or anything like that. It's like, hey, he can play
exactly.
football.
We exactly. need the W's. So I'm not buying this one bit. Not buying I think this is spin, but it's that weird spin that makes you go, it's like that humble brag, yeah. which I hate. You know what I mean? It's like,
we're just too good out there.
We're just too good, you know. One of the reasons me and my garage band can't get a gig is that we'll show up the other bands at the local bar. You know, they just don't want that. You know, they want everybody on the same level, and we're not on the same level, so it's very hard for us to get a gig because we're better than a lot of other bands, and that's just hard.
Yeah, we went to the record company. They said we sound too much like Aerosmith. They already have an Aerosmith.
Yeah, they already have an Aerosmith. Yeah, we're very similar to that. We're on that same level, so it's very hard to get a deal. Yeah, that's what this sounds like. Like, I would have signed him, but he was too good. He was too good, and I just needed to kind of prepare my roster to make sure I had a less than quarterback as a backup to Russell Wilson in case he went down for injury. It doesn't make sense. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we roll along. Continuing, there is a conversation now in the NBA. I knew this was going to happen about some players saying, I don't know if Orlando is a good idea. That's coming up next.
Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so the NBA is set to return late July in Orlando. Bubble atmosphere. We're going to have all the teams except for a couple that didn't make it. So there's 8 teams that will not be going because they don't have a chance to make the playoffs. Now, there are other teams who have an outside chance of making the playoffs, but they need a lot of things to go right. So Adrian Wojnarowski now has a report that 40 to 50 players are pushing against the idea of going to Orlando. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. Look, they've done the math and they figure there's about 375 players that'll be on rosters because they're expanding the rosters to 17 players. So all the teams that are going down, it's about 375 players. 50 is a lot of players that if they don't want to do this, what is you going to do if you're Adam Silver? Because you can't make anybody do this, right? You cannot force your hand. This is too different. So you can do that in a player sits out just to sit out during the regular season pre-pandemic. Yeah, you could say, hey, look, play or not, or you know, we're cutting you or whatever. There's going to be some ramifications if you decide you just don't want to suit up. But in this situation, you can't do that. Everybody that goes to Orlando has to go willingly. Everybody has to go with the idea that this is what they want to do. If anybody has any reservations, if anybody feels it's not as safe, if anybody feels it's just something they don't want to do, then they have every right not to do it. Now, luckily, the report states that LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, the stars, Giannis, you know, they're not backing out. They're all going to be there. So this might be 50 guys that are not necessarily needed for the star-studded event, but maybe needed just as roster players. But that's still a lot. Now, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I told you a story about when I was in high school and I was working at this restaurant and I had two of my friends that took an impromptu trip to New York City right after a shift. They didn't have to work the next few days, so they just they were closing up the restaurant. It was kind of late. And both of them said, let's go see one of our friends from high school who's in New York. They said, let's just go. It was after our graduation. So they just left. They just got in the car and headed to New York and drove all night. Got there at like 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. And I remember afterwards being like, oh man, you should have called me. I would have loved to have gone. And they were like, oh yeah, you know, we actually thought about, you know, calling a couple of people, but what made the trip work for them was it was off the top of their heads. Like they just did it. They just went. They didn't think about it. They didn't process it. They didn't say, well, we should stop. It costs this for gas. And then we got to stop here. And let's go. And then we're getting in late. Then, you know, they just left and went. Now, this is a little different. This has been prepared and planned and whatnot. But I wonder how many of them at the time that this was being proposed immediately had said, let's just do it. Let's do it. Orlando, yeah, hotels, quarantine, I don't care. We're going to be playing basketball. Let's do it. This is all. And then after a while, when you thought about it and you realized, okay, what are we really doing? What are we going to, you know, how long are we going to be away from our families? How long am I going to be there? Do I really have a chance of making the playoffs? When some players actually started to really process what was being asked of them, how many of them said, I don't know, this is not a good idea? So like much like my friends who just didn't think about their trip, they just went and did it. But if they had thought about it, they probably would have stayed home. If they really thought about it, they probably would have said, nah, I don't know if it's a good idea to drive to New York City and get there at like 3 a.m. It's similar here. I wonder how many players initially thought that this was a good idea, initially thought that this would be kind of fun, different, but at least get back on the basketball court. And now they're going, I don't know. I mean, is it really going to be that safe? Or do I want to be tested every day? And do I want to be living in this bubble in Orlando where I can't leave, where I can have some family come, but it's very restricted? Is this what I want to do? Now, imagine if you're a player, like a role player on one of the mid-level teams, maybe not Milwaukee with a chance to win a title or the Lakers with a chance to win a title, but kind of one of those, you're an eight seed, maybe you're a 9 seed right now, a 7 seed, and there's some real work to do. You really need the ball to bounce your way. You know that the tournament is going to be structured differently. It's going to be seeded 1 through 16. So maybe your path is even more tough to put some upsets and win a championship. And plus, because the playoff format is going to be exactly the same, you know how tough it's going to be, right? Where you go, look, I mean, do I realistically think my team can beat Milwaukee in a 7-game series? I want to give it the good old competitive college try, but at the same time, I know, and I don't think I want to go down there for that. I don't think I want to be quarantined for that. I don't want to be around. And now I'm wondering how much does that snowball start collecting more snow and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if Adam Silver has enough players, like let's say that 40 to 50 that Woj is talking about grows to 75, 80, 90. What if it gets to 100? What if nearly a quarter of the players that are needed to go down there in terms of rosters decide against going? What does that mean? What if Kawhi Leonard changes his mind? What if Giannis changes his mind? Heck, what if LeBron changes his mind? But LeBron, I think, has been very vocal about wanting to do this. What happens then? How does Adam Silver save that idea? Because again, he can't force anybody to do this. The safety concerns are real. And you don't really want to tell somebody that they're not. They're real. So unfortunately, like Carmelo Anthony is one that's talking about it. He's kind of had a nice resurgence with Portland this season. He's saying that he's not sure if this is something he wants to do. Now, he's been willing to be vocal about this. I wonder how many of the 40 or 50 now are just doing it like as a small poll. They don't want to make waves. They don't want to cause any trouble. But behind the scenes, they don't want to do it. If that number starts increasing, Adam Silver is going to have an issue on his hands because this is something that everybody who's been planning it and putting it together, they've thought of just about everything they possibly can do to keep players safe and to get a season finished and headed into the playoffs. They do need the players' cooperation on this. And if that number gets higher, they're going to lose it.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver
Here's Tony B.
All right, thanks for joining us in this wake-up call on ESPN Radio. One other thing about the NBA's return. A lot was made yesterday. Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets lost a lot of weight during quarantine, which is the exact opposite of everybody else, right?
How do you do that?
He looks like Sean Bradley. He's now like a tall string bean type of player. Jokic was a bulky guy, 284. Bulky guy. Now he looks very lean and fit. He does. He looks, I mean, he's just.
What, did he spend the off season or off, or time off just working out the entire time?
Like
so can anti-quarantine.
I know, right? And I bet that's annoying, and it's going to be such an annoyance in the Denver Nuggets locker room. When all the players are like, man, I really had to work off that extra 15 pounds I put down. He's like, well, I worked out every single day and I ate carrots. Like, yeah, shut up, all right? I ate a whole pizza. Shut up, you ate carrots.
I pulled a Michael Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was on a diet before the quarantine where I was trying to cut carbs down, and I was doing pretty good. I wasn't, don't get me wrong, I wasn't like carb free or anything like that, but I would be very watchful of it. I mean, I'd be like, take off the top bun of a burger, and I was doing all that kind of stuff, and I was eating more, you know, vegetables and stuff, and I was trying to lose some weight, and I was working, I was down, I lost like 10, 15 pounds, and then the quarantine hit, and I went right back to eating candy and carbs. I mean, I didn't care. It was like I was eating fried chicken. I was eating, I mean, anything I get my hands on, I was eating.
No, the problem
the
is that you just spend all day snacking because
that's
you're bored.
Right. That's where I think I gained most of my weight was snacking. I was literally going into the kitchen. My wife actually put up signs that said, you're not hungry, you're bored. Posted up because I was going to the kitchen too many times. And I was right. And Jokic is like it making me feel terrible because now he's so slim and I mean, I don't want to say fit because he was fit before. I mean, he was 284, but he was a good 284. Now he's like I said, he looks like Sean Bradley. He's like a string bean. Now, I don't know if that works or not, right? Like, I know my friends in Denver have been posting pictures of him saying, oh, better watch out, world. Here he comes. But I don't know if losing that bulk is going to make him effective in the post now. I know he's going to be like maybe, you know, slimmer and more effective in other areas, but I don't know if he's going to be effective in the post. Now he's all that. Maybe they're going to start silently feeding him calories. Like, oh, no, take this. It's good for you. You drink it. It's good. Meanwhile, it's like some shake that's got like 1,500 calories in it. So you can put some bulk back on. But yeah, look out. I am concerned about this NBA thing, though. I hope it's not a groundswell of. Let's rethink this. I don't think we want to do this.
This is, I don't know, is it just because they're being sequestered in Orlando and can't take in any of the nightlife? Like they're literally just going to be 3 months of just playing basketball.
Let me say this. Remember how we were just talking about Pete Carroll, how he would, you know, maybe the reason was he was too, that Colin Kaepernick was too controversial, but now he's saying, oh no, it's because he was too good. If you went to an NBA player and you said, Do you really want to go to Orlando? And he goes, no. And you say, why? Isn't the answer going to be safety rather than right. I can't go to the club?
Well, I mean, the question that I would ask would be, would you have rather gone to Vegas?
Right. Because that's a great point.
If they just held the rest of the season in Vegas, I bet those 50 or 60, I don't know if they would change their mind. I think they would sit there and go, oh, Vegas.
Now, if you had the NBA players going, okay, we're instead of Disney World, we're going to Vegas. We're going
to yes, you have to stay in the Caesar's Palace.
We've got this huge hotel for you guys to stay in, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a conference room and we're going to put all the casino games in there, and that's your casino. Like we're going to test the dealers, we're going to put up the plexiglass. Yep. All that stuff, but that's your casino. No one else is allowed to go in there. That is your casino. You can go in there anytime you want, gamble, have fun, play poker, play blackjack, whatever you want to do. We're going to give you that opportunity. We'll give you drinks, whatever. Everything will be safe. Everything will be, you know, perfect, and you can go there rather than go to Disney, but don't touch anything. Right? Go to Disney, but you can play golf.
Yep. Go to Disney, but you can't take in the park.
That's right. You can't do anything. You go hotel. You know, play golf, maybe eat at a few restaurants, but that's it. But if Vegas was like, no, we'll give you the pool, we'll give you the casino, We'll give you your own casino. We'll give restaurants.
We'll throw in a nightclub for you.
We'll throw in a nightclub for you if you want to do that. Whatever it is. That would, I think more players would go, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm in. Because I don't think I want to, I don't think I would admit that I didn't want to go to Orlando because I would be bored. I think I would say, oh, no, safety. It's I don't want to get corona. And then they would go, but look at all these safety measures. Yeah, but I'm not fit on it. Because it's a lot to ask these guys. I mean, the bubble thing doesn't sound fun. Now, getting back to work sounds fun. Being with your teammates sounds like fun. But being in the bubble doesn't sound very awesome to me. Like, what are they going to do on their day off? Like, what if you don't play golf? Like, what if you're, like, an NBA player and you're like, I don't play golf. What am I supposed to do? Like, Steph Curry is like, well, I'll just play golf every day. But what if you're like, well, what else? What am I going to do? Play tennis? What am I going to go boating on the lake? What am I going to go? What am I going to do? Like eat at a restaurant, hang around, watch TV? Like, what am I supposed to do? I can see that not being that appealing. And especially if you're a bench guy on the Lakers. Yeah. And you're like, we're going to be here a long time. Some of these guys are like, we're going there. We'll be done.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not that good. We'll be done.
I love the bench player scenario because maybe he gets, 2 minutes a game, 3 minutes a game? Is it worth it?
Yeah. So he's going to go to Orlando. He barely is going to see any action. He's on the Lakers. He knows they got a good chance of winning, staying there till October.
They're stuck in their hotel if they're not playing basketball.
All of a sudden, that doesn't sound so awesome. Yeah, we got a chance of winning the championship, but we may not win a championship, and I might be stuck here till October, and I don't play.
Honestly, even for you and I, that sounds fun for the first week.
Yeah.
Just be stuck in a hotel. But after that first week, you'll be like, all right, dude, I've got to see something.
What am I going to do?
Do I just walk around this hotel? I'm not allowed to, I can hear the fun. I can smell the smells. I can't, I can't do it.
I can't go anywhere. Like, I can't even go to Orlando. Like, I can't even go find entertainment.
You know what it feels like? It feels like some of these players are going to go and then come up with a plan to sneak out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Get past the chaperone that's guarding the gate, and somebody's got a hot ride at the end. It's like, all we got to do is just make it to the edge of the fence.
That's right. That's right. Have somebody smuggle you out. Like, no. This is not a player. He's just another friend that's 6'9".
Nah, trust me. My brother's waiting for us. He's got a car.
That's right. Exactly. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, remember the OJ, People versus OJ Simpson, where the jury was quarantined and they just lost their minds and they were screaming at the guards and demand. Like, they were just like, I'm sick of this. I'm watching, television. We can't, nothing's in our, like, that's what it reminds me. After a week.
Reruns of sitcoms and that was it.
Seinfeld or Martin. Remember they had a choice. And it was the same thing here. It's like, after a while, these players are going to be like, okay, that's enough. Enough with this. Please get me on a private jet somewhere. Please take us somewhere.
Can't they do something like that? I mean, is the NBA planning stuff for them? Like, Friday night's going to be Monte Carlo night?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like being on a cruise ship. It's like bingo in room 7B. Right?
Now on the Lido deck.
Right now on the Lido deck. It's so true. It's so true. This 40 or 50 people that Woj is talking about, I bet you 75% at least are saying it's because of the boredom factor.
Oh,
or it's just
the
quarantine factor. I don't think it has anything to do with safety.
No,
they're doing a really good job with safety. These guys are going to get tested all the time. Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
At the root of everything, what you got to remember is, these are professional basketball players, but most of them are just kids.
Right, yeah.
They're in their young 20s.
Young guys.
I'm trying to picture myself, 22, 23 years old, and I'm told that I can't leave. I got to be in a hotel, and I could be in this hotel for 3 months, and I'm not seeing it. Dude, that doesn't sound like fun.
Doesn't sound very awesome. And again, what is there to do? Golf and eating at a restaurant. Really? Yeah. Nothing else? There's nothing else I can do? Take a walk? Maybe not. I don't know.
I'll say this, though. As a dad, I would jump all over this.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'd love
it. Sorry, babe. I have to go make some money.
I'm going to go. But at the same time, I get it. So, but again, on a serious side of it, if you're Adam Silver in this – there's no hammer you can put down on this, right?
I mean, I know Carmelo Anthony spoke out about it, but
is he a big enough star?
See, that's he's not. But I'm wondering. But here, okay. So what would you do if you're a team? Like they're saying your roster because of the length of time you're there, and you're not going to be able to just bring. You know, you can't just bring in guys, right? Like you're not bringing in guys, sending guys home, right? Like a player that. You would call up from the G League, let's say, if you needed a roster spot, or you would sign a guy to a 10-day contract. If you run into some injury problems, that's one of the reasons they're allowing teams to bring 17 players, is that, okay, we're going to have enough players on the roster that you should be okay. You shorten your bench anyway during the playoffs, so it's not like you need all these guys anyway. So that's just out of, okay, just to make sure we're not bringing guys in and out of this thing, bring 17 players. Do they need 17 players? No. So if a majority of these guys are role guys, guys who are going to get 2 or 3 minutes anyway, just in case players, then Adam Silver doesn't really have a problem. Because again, you don't go 10 deep, 11 deep in the postseason, right? You trim, you get it down about 8 or 9. That's about it. Maybe even 7 in some cases. So he's, but if it grows and he doesn't have the authority to force this, he's going to have to sell it better. And that's what I'm wondering, if his PR team is going to have to go, hey guys, look, this isn't as bad as you're going to think. We're going to try to do this, this, and this to make it more livable in these circumstances. So we are really, really, really hoping you'll do this, because he can't punish him for not going. He can't tell him they have to go. He can just tell him, we're going to do the very, very best we can. So any of your fears or concerns, whether it's safety or just the fact that it's kind of going to be kind of boring, we're going to try to alleviate that as much as possible. But he does have an issue on his hands. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, or that's Ron with two N's, as we continue Good Friday to you on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Glad to be with you here on a Friday as we head into the weekend. Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So do you remember yesterday when we told you that NASCAR is now saying you banning the Confederate flag at all of their races?
Yeah.
2020, it's kind of about time, yeah, but nevertheless. So. All right.
Let's see. When I saw this, there was one thing that just instantly went to my mind.
Which is?
Went to my brain. What do we do about the General Lee?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that now all of a sudden people are going to look at Dukes of Hazzards differently. Dukes of Hazzard differently. That it could be pulled from Amazon streaming, where it's on right now.
Let's see.
I hope not.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday with Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. I hope not.
There's no.
I mean, it's kind of.
There's no point in. And I mean, some things. It's
the Duke boys weren't racist. They were just.
They weren't.
They just were hauling the moon that Uncle Jesse was making around Georgia. That's all it was.
You know, when you look back on that show, the cops were doing the right thing.
Right, they were. They were trying to stop the Duke boys from running around with that car.
I mean,
causing problems.
Sure, Boss Hogg kept getting into trouble and using the power of the mayor position to do nefarious things.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, you can't get mad at Roscoe Coltrane or Enos.
No, they were trying to do the best they can.
You don't run into too many Enoses, by the way.
Those boys were getting trouble with the law since the day they were born. Right? Since the day they were born, they were getting in trouble.
I imagine, you know, because of that line, Uncle Jesse had him running moonshine on the back of their huffies.
Over. Yeah, exactly, running moonshine. Ray Ciccarelli, who is a truck driver, he quit because of this. See this? Here's the funny part. I never heard of Ray Ciccarelli.
Never heard of him at all.
He never won a race. He never did anything in the sport whatsoever.
Well, I saw the highest he ever finished was 18th.
Yeah. And now he's quitting. He says, everything's for sale now. And this is the other thing about what makes it. Like, he's not even. If you're going to quit in this way, you're better off just saying, I love the Confederate flag, and I love it being waved at every event that I race in. But instead he goes, I don't even care about the flag. It's not about the flag. Some people like it, and that's basically the yeah. you know, the reason he's quitting is that because some people like it, and NASCAR is telling them they can't wave it.
I'm fighting for their freedom.
Yeah, I'm fighting for their freedom. Exactly. Give me a break. He says he could care less about the Confederate flag. By the way, I could not care less. I'm sorry to be picky with the grammar.
No, you're absolutely right. It's okay.
It's okay.
We had to teach the youth of America.
But at the same time, not a great way for him to get out of the sport because he's now become the name for the typical, I love the Confederate flag, and now even though he says he doesn't care about it, I'm quitting over this. But he didn't do anything. This is a loss. Great. So a race car driver we've all never heard of is now making waves because he's quitting a sport nobody knew he was doing anything in anyway.
Yep.
That's basically what this boils down to. Yeah. You know, here's the deal. If you're going to make a stand like that, be someone that the sport will miss.
Yeah, or do I?
That's
burn,
how you make an impact.
Do I burn my Ray Ciccarelli jersey?
Right, exactly.
Because he's quitting.
My T-shirt, or my hat, or any other merchandise he was selling out of the back of a van on Merchandise Row
in front of a Waffle House.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knew you were racing, and now nobody cares you're leaving. Ray Ciccarelli. That'll be the last time I mention his name. It's Wake Up Call, ESPN Nation Radio.